finding Matthew's gospel, the last chapter, 28th chapter, the 18th verse. And while you're turning there, let me just share with you that Satan has done a masterful job of blinding the hearts of many of God's people around the globe today, and he's done so in a premeditated effort, in a concerted effort to keep God's people from building God's kingdom. And I'd like to welcome you to the second message in this series of messages, Becoming Kingdom Builders, because as we discussed last week, that's what we're to be about, building the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here on this earth. And I want you to know there are only two kingdoms in this world. There is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness, and then there is the kingdom of unrighteousness. Well, you have your Bibles there, Matthew 28. Look with me at verse 18, and if you're able, would you rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word this morning? The word of our Lord says unto us, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty Father, today I pray that right now as we begin to listen to your word, Lord, that we would really hear, that you would grant us that which Jesus often prayed for and the messages he preached, an ear to hear. But Lord, give us a will to do. Lord, we need to be about the Father's business. So Lord, I pray today that you would just go to work on each one of us, those here and those online. The Father, that your message and your word would go forth not only into our hearts, but that we would run and tell others about Jesus. Lord, we all know there's a day coming. We all know there's a time coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but there's a time and an hour for every man when you will call them to account. And Lord, we need to be about your business because, Father, God help us if we're not, and God help us if any we've come in contact with us would fall short of your so great salvation. Lord, let us be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I want to begin with this thought. There is the kingdom of God, a kingdom which Jesus taught us to pray for. And he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Now, if you remember, we shared with you last week the reason and the purpose that you were created. You know, it amazes me. We're living in a world today where a lot of people say, well, I just don't know why I was created to begin with. Friend, you were created because God loves you. You were created because you were in the mind of God. God thought of you before the foundation of the world was ever framed, ever laid. God knew the generation that you would be here upon this earth, and God created you for a relationship with him, and he created you for a purpose, and that purpose is that you would bring glory to God through the life that you live. And the amount of glory that God is going to receive from you and I is going to be in direct proportion to the amount of kingdom building we accomplish in this angelic conflict in which we are in. The other kingdom is the kingdom of the evil one. And so we all know this, two kingdoms, two eternal destinies for man. Which kingdom do you serve, and which kingdom should you be serving, or which kingdom are you serving now? To serve God in his kingdom, you've got to be intimately familiar with Jesus Christ. You've got to be intimately familiar with your Bible because it's his kingdom manual. Our king, in our king's kingdom, there's only one rule, his. And all of us would have to say then, if there's only one rule and it's His, it's time for us to get over ourselves. I want you to remember how the Lord's Prayer ends. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You realize when we put the amen on it, it means that we're agreeing with our King and His kingdom word. And so, family and friends, when Jesus left this earth, we read here today, what we read is our kingdom assignment. And Jesus expects us to do it. Why is it then so many don't seem to have any fire in their heart or fire in their belly or desire to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ? Why is it that so many Christians seem to be just drifting along through life? Why is it that so many appear to be spiritually blind or unengaged to the angelic conflict that each Christian has been placed in the middle of? Why is it that so many of God's children are not concerned with both the joy and the future crowns that await those who are found faithful? Why is it that so many Christians today around the globe are not fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? We know the assignment. Our Lord's assignment to us in Matthew 28 can be no clearer. Go ye therefore. Go ye. Can you imagine being an attorney and yet you never got around to practicing the law? Can you imagine being a CPA and yet you never get around to performing any accounting function? Can you imagine being a firefighter and yet you've never responded to a fire? Can you imagine being a doctor and never seen a patient? Can you imagine being a school teacher and you never taught a single student? Surely if you've never practiced, never performed, never responded, never saw, and never taught, you would not expect to hear from your boss, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If he was any kind of boss at all, he'd tell you, "You fired." There are a lot of nice, kind, friendly, gracious, selfless, generous Christians out in this world today. But sadly, they just never get around to doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. And friends, that's the issue. That's the reason why our world is in the shape it's in today. The greatest tragedy in the world today is that God's people are allowing the culture around us to change us instead of us changing the culture around us. Given all that God has done for us, given all that God has provided for us, and I think about how little we're giving back to Him, shouldn't this cause us to weep? And if it doesn't, we ought to at least have the courage to ask ourselves why. Why is it that we, the church around the world, don't have the courage to walk by faith? Why? I think if Jesus Christ were to come into our midst today, He might come and He might just say, "Why? How are you going to answer them?" You know as well as I do that talk is cheap. People can talk a lot. But friend, talk is cheap and we've got to walk. And if all we ever do is talk about our faith and we never get around to practicing, never get around to performing, never get around to responding, never get around to seeing the needs, looking and finding where God is at work in our community, and never get around to teaching the truth. Do you really believe that when you stand before Almighty God, and stand you will, because the Bible says, so then every one of us must give an account of ourselves to God. Do you really think that God is going to look at any one of us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? God wants to work in you. God wants to work in this church. God wants to work in our community. When I think about all these things, wouldn't you think that Jesus is looking for a return on his investment in us? Have we forgotten the parable of the talent? That parable was about building God's kingdom, not ours. You know, as human beings, we always want to know what we can expect from one another. Why do you believe, or why would we think that Jesus Christ would be any different? Like any good coach, Jesus wants to know what he can expect from us. And the good news for us this morning is this, that if we don't like what we've been able to accomplish up till now, well, praise God, you can repent. Praise God, we can rededicate. Praise God, you can get saved. Praise God, there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah, there's a God who can use you if you're willing. There's a God who can put a fire in your belly. There's a God who can put a pep in your step. There is a God in heaven this morning. But you know, when I think about all these things, there's a world this world hates to hear. It's a word called submission. Friend, it's a matter of submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a matter of laying ourselves down, laying our wills down. It's a matter of accepting his truth as the absolute truth. There is no other truth but God's truth. And it's a matter of accepting it as such. It's a matter of allowing him to have complete control. It's a matter of ceding our control for his control, that we might start reclaiming the territory that we've lost. Now, you'll remember that we shared last week that when God created man on the sixth day, he created man to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In other words, God gave to man an area of responsibility, an AOR, if you will. And in man's area of responsibility, God gave three divine institutions. God gave the family, God gave the church, and God gave government. And government includes local, city, state, and federal. And God also gave to each man his own territory. And God, each man is responsible for his own territory. Man, if you're here this morning, you need to understand you are responsible for your home, for your family, for your church, and for our government. You see, when Adam fell in the garden, God didn't come looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam. And God came looking for Adam because it was to Adam that God had given the responsibility to protect his wife, to protect his area of responsibility by obeying God's commands. Because of Adam's fall, God had us, let us know, Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, Adam's failure, death passed upon all men. And I think it's very important to note that the Bible doesn't say because of Eve's sin. The Bible says because of Adam's sin. God holds men responsible for their home, their family, their church, and their government. In every man's territory, there are two types of territory. In every man's life, there's two types of territory. There's present-day territory, the things that God has already given to you. And then there's also future territory that God wants to give to us. And future territory requires us to go out and get it because the Lord says He's already given it to us. And there's a wonderful illustration of this in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is what the Bible says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Note what God said. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Has God changed? No, God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has always wanted the kingdom of darkness to be trumped by the kingdom of light, and God's people are the kingdom of light. We are called to be the light and salt of this earth. Amen? And that's why Jesus gave to His church the Great Commission. Jesus has already given us souls for the kingdom to reap. But sadly, we know what our Lord also said, the laborers are few. Have you ever wondered, has it ever come across your consciousness what God is going to do with a lazy Christian? What happened to the man in the parable of the talents who was given the one talent and he did nothing with it? What did Jesus say the king would do to that one? And he said, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so God has given us a territory, and we're to conquer it. But friend, we can't conquer it if we will not engage in kingdom building. Can I ask you, man, what have you done in this past week to be building the kingdom of God into your family? What have you done to build the kingdom of God up in this church? What are you doing to build the kingdom of God in our government? Are we about our Father's kingdom business, or are we just worried about our own business? What can you point to in the last week that you did in kingdom building for the Lord that you could say, here's where I was engaged in serving God. Here's where I was sharing the message. Here's what God led me to do. I'm on fire for God. I want to see the kingdom grow. What have we done? And are you aware that God has given us the legal authority in the spiritual realm to move into enemy's territory from our house to the White House to occupy, seize, and reclaim what rightfully belongs to the kingdom of God? Every election gives us the opportunity to vote for the candidate who holds to Christian values. This is what happens spiritually when we are fulfilling the Great Commission. It's because we have to admit that the church for too long around the country has not been fulfilling the Great Commission, that the government has fallen into the enemy's hands. But I will tell you, on September 17th, early voting begins here in the state of Virginia, and we can begin to reclaim our state for God by casting our vote for the candidate who represents godly values. But it brings me to another point about territory. God will only expand our territory when God knows we intend to use it for the benefit of God and others. When we intend to use it for the benefit of God and others. How many of you recall the New York Times bestseller that took the church by storm in the year 2000 called The Prayer of Jabez? The Bible says, 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Have you ever stopped to wonder, why did God enlarge Jabez's territory? Because Jabez had aligned his will with God's will, and God knew it. Is your will aligned with God's will? Family and friends, God knows whether it is or not this morning. And if it's not, you need to repent, because you are either out of fellowship with God or you are lost completely. Jabez not only wanted God's presence, he wanted God to help him. He wanted God to help him live in such a way that he wouldn't cause pain to God and others. Perhaps you're wondering, why does God bless Jabez? And I've been praying for God to bless me, but he's not doing it. Why Jabez, God? Why not me? And the answer is simple. God knew he had Jabez's heart. God knew he had Jabez's mind. God knew that Jabez was concerned about representing God well. God knew that Jabez wanted his territory enlarged, not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of God and others. God knew that Jabez was interested in being a kingdom builder for God's kingdom, not his own. And so if our territory or your territory isn't being enlarged, why is that? And the biblical answer is very simple. It's because God may not or does not have your heart. God may not or does not have your mind. God knows your reasoning for it is not a concern for his kingdom, but your own. And so simply put, God cannot trust you with any more territory. That's the whole reason why people today claim the church is dying. It isn't that people can't be reached for Jesus Christ. It isn't that the young people, the middle-aged people, or even elderly people don't care about the church. All that is nothing more than excuses. And like the disciples who went out into a religious world filled with many false gods, so we, the church, have been commanded to go out and represent Jesus Christ well. The reason for the decline in church territory around the world is because we failed to obey the Lord's Great Commission. We have failed to go. We have failed to tell. More importantly, we failed to make disciples. And family and friends, it's not until God can trust us that he can ever enlarge our territory. God knows it's not until we're more concerned with his kingdom rather than our own. God knows that it's not until we're more concerned with representing him well to others that he can ever bring about the blessings that God longs to bless us with. Do you realize that God wants to enlarge your territory? He wants to enlarge the territory of spiritual growth in your own heart. He wants to show you the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of his love for you. God wants to use you to reach others for Christ. Maybe they're in your own family. Maybe that's your next door neighbor. Maybe it's the person that hates your guts. But God wants to use you like you've never been used before. And we've got to ask ourselves the questions. Can God trust us like he could Jabez? Jabez prayed a prayer, God answered it. I'm certain every one of us prayed prayers. We've not yet received the answers, so we need to ask some tougher questions. Can God trust us like he could Jabez? God's given us. He's given to each one of us, each Christian, the Great Commission mandate. Are we living in a way that our children are being won to Christ, our grandchildren are being won to Christ, simply by the way we're living the Christian life? Are we preaching a faithful, true gospel? Is Jesus Christ first in our lives? Or do our children see that something else always comes first in our lives? You know as well as I do, we preach every day without saying a word. Are we witnessing to our neighbors by our lifestyle the transformation that only Jesus Christ can bring? Are you involved in your government, voting for those who hold the godly values? Are you studying the candidates so that you know who to vote for? Because the primary way God expands his territory is through the fulfillment of the Great Commission. You know, in real estate development, you can't build on territory you don't own. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Kingdom construction cannot begin until God owns and occupies the hearts and minds of his construction crew. And when any person or any church or any government elected official would rather be politically correct than biblically correct, it's a sure sign that God does not have the heart and mind of that individual, that church, or that government official, and therefore God cannot enlarge their territory. Are you aware that Jesus Christ does not need converts? What Jesus Christ needs is disciples. Jesus Christ needs people who will be willing to allow God to have all of their heart, who will be willing to model the things that Jesus teaches in the Bible to a lost and dying world. Jesus doesn't need converts. He said, go ye and make disciples. You want to know why that is? Because disciples will use what God has taught them to expand and enlarge their territory by going out and doing what God has said. Can I ask you this morning as we close, are you on the King's construction crew? Does God have your heart? Does God have our minds as a church? As an individual, are you fully submitted? Heart, mind, body, and soul, are you fully submitted to God and his word? I hope so. Perhaps in this church, you're in the church today or you're with us online. Perhaps as the message been being preached, you've recognized that you're not saved. Good news is you don't have to remain not saved. I'm so thankful there's a Father up in heaven. And I'm so thankful that the Father up in heaven sent his Son to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And if you've repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I bet you're thankful too this morning that there's a God who sent his Son, that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful to know the Savior this morning? But you may be here this morning. You've heard 1,000 sermons in your lifetime. You may be wondering what the gospel is, because around you. There are people who say they're saved, but man, they sure don't act like it. So here's what the gospel is. G stands for God, who created each one of us for the sole purpose of having a relationship with us. O lets us know that our sin has separated us from a holy God, and a holy God cannot have anything to do with sin. And until you and I deal sufficiently with our sin, God can't have anything to do with us. And we do that by repenting. S stands for sin. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. No one has to point it out. We all know that. The P stands for paying. Somebody had to pay. And I want you to know this morning that God loves you so much that He gave His one and only begotten Son. Nobody can ever say, God doesn't love me. God loves you so much because the cross of Jesus Christ stands as the emblem of God's love for you. Jesus Christ came to the cross. The Bible says while we were the enemies of God, Christ died for us. That's how much God loves you. Somebody had to pay. And Jesus Christ became your sin bearer. He became my sin bearer. And Jesus died on the cross to provide you with the opportunity to receive salvation in Jesus Christ. The E stands for everyone. Everyone who puts their faith and trust through repentance in Jesus Christ will receive the forgiveness of their sins, and they will live eternally with Christ forever. And L stands for life that's eternal. Life eternal with Jesus. And I want you to know today, as I mentioned, if you're joining us online or you're right here in this church, you can pray a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I'm going to ask you to listen to this prayer. I'm going to pray it twice and you listen first. And the reason I want you to listen first, because I don't want you to pray something that you don't mean, you don't understand. You need to understand. You need to mean what you say. So I'm going to pray this prayer twice, but I'm going to ask this church right now. I bet you in every family in this church, you got people who are lost. I got them in my family. Family members who are lost. I bet you do too. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I'm going to ask you to begin to pray like you've never prayed before. To pray for those in your own family who you know are lost, but you pray for those online. You pray for your enemies. You pray for anybody you know who's lost. There's enough lost people in this world, we all ought to have somebody to pray for this morning, amen? We need to bow our heads, and we need to pray, and you pray for people to receive Jesus Christ. If you're online today or you're in this church, you listen first, and then I'll pray it again. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. But you can and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me, Jesus, for sinning against you. And right now I am repenting of my sin. I am turning from my life of sin and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, Lord, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. And now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray that prayer again. If you sincerely want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pray that with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I can't save myself, but you can and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you. I'm repenting of my sin and turning from my life of sin, and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. by faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and you're online, there's a number and there's an email address, would you let us know? Let us know of your decision, that we can get material into your hands, that we can pray with you, that we can get you started on your walk with Jesus Christ. For those of us here, Brother Jimmy's going to come in just a moment and lead us in the invitational song. We're going to stand. What step of faith do you need to take today? What is God asking of you? What would God have you do with what you've heard this morning? For some, you may be asking God, give me a heart that's more like yours. Give me the ability. Father, forgive me. Whatever it is, but you come. As we stand and sing, Brother Jimmy, would you lead us in song this morning?